So our learning should be in Tzchus, my wife's grandfather's yard site. It was a couple of days ago. Moshe Chaim ben Avram Ava. This should be Mel Tzioshir for us and for the Jewish people, Mirtz Hashem. Abay Shabtai slipped out over here, but I wasn't here for Yontif. But I saw on the top of the weekly that he was Zochet for Chasam Torah, and I promise you, I probably don't know anyone else in the world who deserves Chasam Torah more than he does. He's dedicated his life for inspiring and bringing more Torah and more light to our community. So when we see him, please, I'm sure we've already given him a Karsa Tov, but we have a lot of Karsa Tov to him. Rav Simcha Bonav of Pshischa had a very, very famous statement on a certain tefillah that we say every day. Most of us, including myself, we probably just say these words and we just go on. We say, HaBocher B'shiri Zimmer Melech Yocher, if you daven Nusach Svart, Melech Chaya Olamim. So the word HaBocher B'shirei Zimra, simple pshat, is that he chooses the musical instruments, he chooses the music from the instruments. But Rav Simcha Bonav has a very chassidish pshat on the word B'shirei. It says B'shirei doesn't only refer to the songs, it also refers to B'shiyarei, like coming from the word Shirayim. But Shparuch chooses the ones, she chooses the leftovers. He chooses the leftovers in a person's life. The things in a person's heart. Sometimes, you know, when we go through a whole Tishrei, there's so much davening, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, there's so much, we spend so much time davening, but there's still some things that are left in our hearts. There's still some thoughts left in our mindset. And that's what really Cheshvan's all about. Sometimes we think, Mar Cheshvan, there's nothing going on. Mar Cheshvan, actually, another statement from Simcha Bonav, actually is hinted to in the Gemara and Megillah. Gemara Megillah on Chav Zayin Medbez. You know, tonight is Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan. Rav Shlomo Karbach used to say that's not Mar Cheshvan, but it's Ram Cheshvan. It's all about how you view it. That's why his yartzeit is in Cheshvan. It's not the bitterness of Cheshvan, but it's the loftiness of Cheshvan. Just because there's nothing in there, that doesn't mean that it's not still great. So back to the Gemara. Gemara says, Omer Rav Ashi, Shekol Dalad Amos Tfilosos Sudur Befiv. For the entire time it takes to walk Dalad Amos, a person's tefillah is still fluent in his mouth. And listen to these next three words. Virachushe Merachashon Sifavose. Virachushe Merachashon, coming from the lesson of Mar Cheshvan, Sifavose, and his lips are still moving. So Simcha Bonav says that even though we finish all the extra tefillahs in Tishrei, Shoshana and Kippur and Sukkot and all these great tefillahs, Cheshvan, our lips are still moving a little bit. There's still something happening going on. There's still something connecting us from Tishrei into Kislev. So the question is, how do we keep it alive? How do we keep that inspiration that we had? You know, especially the 3-day Yontifs could sometimes get a little long, but we all felt something different. Whether it could be on a Kofos or could it be on the Ida, we all felt something special. How do we keep it alive, especially in the Chodesh of Cheshvan? So the Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, it's a very, very, very famous thing, very famous statement from Rava. Dorash Rava, Mai Dechsev, Mai Yofu Pa'amecha B'Ne'olim Bas Nediv. What is the meaning of this pasuk? Oh, how beautiful, how lovely are your shoes, the steps in your sandals? And the Gemara talks about Mai Yofu Pa'amosein She Yisrael B'Shar She'olim L'Regel. It's specifically talking about how beautiful are the steps of the Jewish people when they go to Yerushalayim to be Olim L'Regel. The three times a year where we're all commanded to be able to go to Yerushalayim, how beautiful are those steps in our shoes? Rav Schwab asks an unbelievable question. He says, we're talking about shoes? How beautiful our shoes are? That's what's so beautiful about going to Yerushalayim three times a year. It's okay, go to Yerushalayim to be able to bring the karbonos. How beautiful our shoes are. And Rav Schwab says even more, and he writes this in his Sefer Ma'ayon Beis HaShoeva. I think we have it somewhere over here. I've definitely seen it before in the Beis Midrash. Maybe up there somewhere. He says, when we go to Olah L'Regel, we're not even wearing our shoes. Our shoes are off. You go inside the base of Mikdash, your shoes are off. So why are we talking about how beautiful your shoes are? Says Rav Shab, an unbelievable insight. Rabbi Shalom Rasner, Shlita, he's a Rav in Eretz Yisrael. He's a Ram in Reshit. Now he's becoming a Ram in KBY as well. So this is the first time I ever heard this pshat from him. Because you want to know why we're talking about the shoes, how beautiful the shoes are when in the times of Olah L'Regel. Does you want to know why Dafka, besides the halacha, why do we have to take our shoes off? Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want only us to be inspired when we're in Yerushalayim, when we're in the Mikdash, when we're away from our families, when we're only in the Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot time. What's the whole point? The whole point is to be able to take that and bring it home. Take that inspiration, take that Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot now, and now make it practical. Make it practical in your Shabbos table. Make it practical in a chavrusa. Make it practical in the way you treat each other. Make it practical the way you treat someone in Publix or in Winn-Dixie. Make it practical the way if you look one way, look the other, and just put your wagon when in the middle of nowhere. That's the whole reason why it's how beautiful are the Jews' shoes. Because shoes, it's not talking about the physical shoes. So when you leave Yerushalayim and you're putting your shoes back on, take the Kedusha, take the holiness, take the inspiration from Yerushalayim, now bring it back into your house, bring it back into your life. And that's what Cheshvan is. Cheshvan, there's specifically nothing in Cheshvan, because there's so much ore, there's so much light in Tishrei. Kadosh Baruch Hu now wants us to infuse it back into our own practical daily life. How are we treating each other? How are we going into our second Shabbos? How are we going into our jobs? How are we going into our relationships? To be able to bring that ore, to bring that Kedusha, and be able to bring it home. You know, sometimes, I don't know if anyone here ever had that feeling, but after Sukkot, and you feel like, Sukkot is over, back to the daily grind, back to this, back to that. So there's a great rabbi known, one of the great rebbes known as Rav Moshe Leib Sassover, one of the great Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. So he says a very powerful line. He says, the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu who says, Atah Bachartanu, the same one who says that he chose us, right? We say about Atah Bachartanu a lot of times on Sukkot, that you chose us, is the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that says, Atah Chonantanu. That it's time to be able to now it rhymes a little bit, right? The same Kadosh Baruch Hu that chose us, now Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to leave Yontif, and I want you to go back into your daily lives. That's the whole avodah of Cheshvan. The whole avodah of Cheshvan is to show Kadosh Baruch Hu, we want to bring it back, we want to show you that it's not just one little bit of inspiration, we're trying to now bring that emistic of inspiration now back into our lives. So to be able to say two more things, one little nice word that I heard from my Rebbe Rav Moshe Weinberger, and then I'll end with a Maisa with a story. So we're trying to show Kadosh Baruch Hu that we're emistic, that it wasn't just one little piece of inspiration that we had in the Ilo or in Simchas Torah. We're trying to show Kadosh Baruch Hu that we want to make it real. So how do we say truth? How do we say true in Hebrew? It's the word emes. Says the Alexander Rebbe, an unbelievable insight. Emes stands for 3 months. Says the Alexander Rebbe, MS stands for Elul, Tishrei, and Mar Cheshvan. Kadosh Baruch Hu says it's very easy to be inspired in Elul. You hear the shofar at the end of davening, Tishrei. You have so much going on. You want to? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to see if you're really truthful to me. How you real truthful? Mar Cheshvan. He says that he brings like a mushel. He says like a guy comes to a store and he tells the storekeeper, I want a certain object. I'll be here tonight to be able to pay for it. And he comes in that night. The storekeeper 9:30. The guy doesn't show up. Next morning he says, "I promise you, I'll be there. I promise you, I'll be there at 9:30." The same thing happens every for two or three nights. The guy doesn't show up. So at the end of the day, by the third or fourth night, the storekeeper he's hearing these big promises. He's hearing these big aspirations. At the end of the day, he's not really fully believing that this guy's going to come. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to see the aspirations that we had, an Elul and a Shoshana. How are you making it real? We have 1 month. And what's that month? The month is Mar Cheshvan. There's specifically nothing in it. Besides, there's a lot of yahrzeits. Rachel Imenu, and the Piazetzner Rebbe, and my grandmother, and Shlomo Kalil. There's a lot of yahrzeits there. There's a lot of things you could... And Rebbe's mother. There's a lot of yahrzeits in Cheshvan. But there's specifically no Yom Tov. Why? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to say, it's a time now to be able to bring it home. To bring the shoes, to make sure to take all the inspiration now and be able to bring it back into your own into your daily life to show Kadosh Baruch Hu that we're fully emistic. Just be able to close with a short story. You know, once Cheshvan always falls around, there's a great rabbi known as the Eish Kodesh. This is a picture of him, the Chuvas HaTamidim. He died in 1943. He was the rabbi of the Warsaw Ghetto. He was a rebbe. He was crowned the rebbe at the young age of 20. He had thousands and thousands of Talmidim in Europe. And he was the rabbi of the Warsaw Ghetto, and he would give great encouragement every Shabbos to the Jews in the ghetto. And what happened was, in 1940, that year, Yom Kippur fell out on Shabbos. They just got into the ghetto, or just the first few months in the ghetto. Yom Kippur fell out on Shabbos. The story goes is that there were bombs literally falling left and right in the Warsaw Ghetto, and the Rebbe had a minion there. It was like a secret minion. And what happened was, 2 days after Yom Kippur, now a few days before Sukkot, right, just like it fell out this year, right, Yom Kippur fell out on Shabbos this year, so Monday, the 12th of Tishrei. There's a huge bomb. The Nazis were trying to take back Warsaw. Like any, I'm sure everyone here knows that they're trying to take back the ghetto after the ghetto uprising and everything. And a bomb fell outside the Rebbe's home, and the Rebbe's son, Rabbi Elimelech, he was critically injured by a lot of the shrapnel. And they brought him to some makeshift hospital in the ghetto, and he was there for a few hours. Later that day, there was another bomb, and what happened? Outside the hospital, another bomb fell, and who was hurt in that bomb? The Rebbe's son's daughter, basically the Rebbe's daughter-in-law and the Rebbe's sister-in-law, who were waiting for their relative who was just critically injured from the bomb earlier in the day. And they were killed instantly. You can just imagine now, the Rebbe, he has so much on his plate, he has to worry now about his daughter-in-law and his sister-in-law's levaya. His son is literally critically injured. He ended up dying on the second day of Sukkot. The Rebbe found out that there was a Jew, there was a chassid, who at the time when he saw that the Rebbe's sister-in-law and daughter-in-law got killed, what did he do? He immediately ran over to their bodies, and he saw that they had this certain type of jewelry on it, very famous jewelry. But the Nazis used to do is they used to be able to take it. So before the Nazis got there, this chassid took the jewelry off, and a Nazi saw, and they brought him to the headquarters. I saw this story. I couldn't believe it's true. It's literally in the sefer. If you want to see it for yourself, the Rebbe stopped everything he was doing. Stopped looking for a levaya, a makeshift levaya for his relatives. He left his son, who's critically ill son, and went to the Gestapo, and went into the office, be able to make sure that this chassid would come out alive. And the story goes, it's brought in the sefer, that most Jews who went into like that Gestapo went into that Nazi office. You had to be crazy to even think to go into that office. What happened was the Rebbe got the guy out. And he was safe. 2 days later, the Rebbe's son unfortunately died, and that's a story for another time. But at the end of the day, to someone to be so emistic, is to fully put your own personal pain and your own personal anguish on the side, to fully care about someone else. That's someone who's only kulo emes. That's someone who's at a tremendously high level. But it's someone who's really in touch with what kedusha is or what emes is. That he's able to put his own personal pain. Tremendous pain that we can't even imagine. You know, to put it on the side to fully focus on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now that's what Cheshvan is. Cheshvan is all about to try to be able to take the inspiration of what we accomplish in Tishrei and El and Tishrei to show Kadosh Baruch Hu that we were truly emistic. It wasn't just something that we just felt, something that we're trying to put into practice. So Kadosh Baruch Hu should bless us. We should be zochah to be emistic Jews that we're able to take our El and our Tishrei and make it concrete and make it firm now. And Mar Cheshvan, have a beautiful Shabbos and good Chodesh.